So, as many of you have probably noticed, I have a big Goliath here, and we'll get to that later, but the real Goliath in the story of David and Goliath was estimated to be 9 feet, 9 inches. That is over 10 feet, so just about up to that blue box is about 9 feet, 9 inches, which is huge. I'm a basketball fan, so if Goliath was today's age, I would tell him to go play basketball and dominate in the NBA. I wish I was that tall. I think a lot of us kind of look at our height as a measure. We measure up against each other, you know. I'm taller than you. I have advantages in that aspect, but you also have advantages and if you're shorter as well. I know sometimes it's hard to see that, but we have advantages no matter what height and what God's gifts we've been given. And so if I were to go fight someone 1v1, I would hope that they were smaller than me. I would not want to fight a man who is over 10 feet tall whatsoever. And I don't think any of us would, because we'd probably all lose. And so when it comes to fighting and battling in this world, we want as many advantages as we can. We want to be stronger, faster, smarter, taller, bigger. Whatever advantage we can get our hands on, that's what we want. That's what sports is all about, and that's what seems to be the competitive nature of life. The corporate ladder people are climbing, you know, if I'm smarter than this person, I can get a raise, move up, keep going over and over again. We look for any advantage and all advantages. And if someone, even if that's crossing some sort of line, sometimes people take that. And we're always looking to gain more of this world, what it has to offer, over and over again. And so life hasn't changed. Just as we look for advantages in our corporate world, in our life in general, back then, no matter how many years ago, people were also looking for advantages. And so in the Israelites' time, the biggest thing was war. You look for advantages in war, whether it's positioning of where your army was, to who has the bigger and badder people, better armor, more strength, whatever it could have been. And so I have a map. And right now what's going on is the Israelites are fighting the Philistines. And so they're stuck in this valley with the Israelites on one side and the Philistines on the other side of the valley. And most of the time, if you're on top of the mountain, and there's a valley in the middle, you have to cross the valley and go up into the mountain to fight the enemy camp. Now, if you've ever seen Star Wars, whoever has a higher ground wins. And you know that quote pretty well. And so it was just like this for the Israelites, where they'd have to go down into the valley, go up a mountain, and they'd probably lose. And same with the Philistines. If they went down to the valley and went up the mountain, they'd probably lose because of the advantage. And so lots of bloodshed in aspects of that. So at this time, they came up with a new strategy. I'll take my best warrior. You take your best warrior. We'll have them 1v1. Winner wins the whole war. Saves a lot of time, saves a lot of energy, saves a lot of bodies. And so the Philistines thought they were invincible because they had Goliath, a 9 foot, 9 inch man with armor head to toe with a sword as big as him. And so it seemed like they were unstoppable. And not only in this point, if the Philistines had won this battle, then they would be able to go through the valley and take Judah. So there's a lot riding on this. This is like game 7 of any sports thing. Game 7, 9th inning, you know, 3 balls, 2 strikes, bases loaded, you need a grand slam here. So there's a lot riding on what's going on in this story. And so, as we find David and Goliath, it's interesting because it took 40 days. Goliath put up the initial, said, hey, you send out your best warrior against me, we'll see what happens. And everyone saw this and said, I'm all set. I want no part of that, and walk the other way. Just as any of us would. I don't blame them at all. I look at this, when I was building this, I just built the legs, and it's still taller than me. I'm 6 foot, and I'm tiny compared to this thing. And so, and I'm tall in today's age, 6 foot. I was also tall for back then. So I've asked one of my teens to come up. But the average man back then was 5'2", 5'3", in height. So a lot shorter than me. Finley, you want to come on down? And so I've asked one of my teens, who is a little bit more accurate to it. Finley, how tall are you? 5 foot. Can you go stand next to Goliath for me? So this is what it accurately looks like for the men of that age. If you want to just take in 9 foot, 9 inches, 5 feet, 5'2", about, yeah, you can stand on your tippy toes. A little bit better, but not much. Thank you, Finley. I appreciate it. But as you can see, yeah, you can give her a round of applause. Thank you. But as you can see, it looks even, Finley's not fighting Goliath. Not without God, of course. But, so the person in charge usually was the strongest warrior. But in a challenge like this, the traditional sense was the king would take upon himself to fight the battle. And so at the time, Saul was the king. And by tradition's sake, it'd be Saul would have to take on Goliath. And Saul said, no, thank you. So he put up the initial, Goliath put up the initial challenge. And every day, for 40 days, Goliath would go out to the battlefield and ask them to come fight him. And the Israelites said, no, thank you. They stayed in their camp and said, I'm all set. And which I don't blame them again. But another aspect of the battle was not only the physical prowess of the people, not the armor, the sword, but the gods. You believe when you went to war, your God was bigger, badder, stronger than their God. And so, especially if you worship more gods, then how could you lose? You had more people on your side, more gods with more perceived power, with more aspects of the world on their side. And so they would win. And so the Israelites kind of forgot they had the King of Kings, Lord of Lords on their side. Because the two gods that the Philistines believed in, one was the god of war and one was the god of love. So they figured the 1-2 punch combination of it and they could win. And so they forgot that God is bigger than both gods. They forgot that God is the greatest and the only God. That these gods are false idols. And they forgot that. And I think that's extremely important to remember throughout the story, that no matter what Goliaths you fight in your life, no matter what battles you fight, difficulties, the bad weeks we have, the bad months we've had, whatever it may be, that God is the God, the number one, and there's no other like him. No matter what idol you want to put up there, whether it's a golden calf back then or money now or whatever you want to put there, it doesn't compare. And so I just want to remind you that I'm weak alone, but strong with God. It is not my own strength. It is not my muscle that I go out. It's not my money. It is not my time. It's not whatever you have is going to win the day. No matter how hard you try, you can give 110% effort, as they say. You're not going to win, and I'm sorry to let you know that right now. But good thing we have God, right? He is strong, and we are strong with him and through him, what he provides with us. And so, whatever issues we're facing, no matter how big they seem, no matter how many people are on the other side of it, no matter what, we have to trust God. And it's easier said than done. If it was so easy, I wouldn't be preaching on it, because we would all just be doing it, and we'd be winning battles left and right. But we have to trust him with what we have. And an interesting point of David and Goliath, David wasn't even there to fight. He had some older brothers, and his dad had heard about this 40-day kind of just waiting period. So he gave him some food, he gave him some water, and he said, go feed your brothers. He's a shepherd by nature, and so he goes to his brothers, feeds his brothers, gives them what they need, and kind of asks about the situation. You know, what's curious? He sees this huge guy, and he's like, I wonder what that's about. So he talks to his brother, and he realizes that no one is wanting to fight this man. No one was wanting to go 1v1 with this massive dude covered in armor, covered with a huge sword, and he's just mean. He's angry, he's mean, and mean people, I'm not a fan of them. I don't want to go near them, I don't really want to talk to them, let alone fight them, but I just don't want to deal with mean people. And so, like we said, it is Saul's responsibility to go and do this fight, and he kind of continues to push this off. Well, David had been through his own battles up to this point. He had fighting off lions from his sheep. He's fighting off bears merely with a staff. and no sword, no weapon. I mean, I think most of us, if we're going hunting, would ask for a gun or a bow and arrow, not a staff. And most of the guys people are missing today are hunting, and I can guarantee you they're hunting with guns, not a staff. Though if you hunt with a staff, I would like to see it. But he had already been through these battles, and he had won these battles, not on his own strength, not on his own talent, not on his own wit. He won it because he trusted God. He had beaten these lions, he had beaten these bears, he protected his flock because he trusted God. And that's what he was used to. He was used to a staff. And so David volunteers. David says, you know what? I'll take on Goliath. Because I don't care how tall he is, I don't care how big he is, I don't care what God he worships, I worship the one true God, and that's enough. So instantly Saul is ready. He is ready to give up this responsibility. He immediately puts him in his armor, his hat, heavy, bulky armor. He gives him his sword, and David just, he barely walking around. It's too big for him. He's not used to it. He's not trained in it, and he goes, nah, I don't want this. I think the biggest thing when I was little was watching VeggieTales, and they have a little asparagus wearing a ton of armor, and the dude just falls on his face. He just can't walk. And so that's how I imagine David, just this big, bulky, and he goes, I don't need that. So his two things that he's used to is a staff and a sling. And God continues to do this pattern where he doesn't require anything new of us. He uses what we already know and have. And so when you trust in God, you're trusting in the gifts he's already given you because he knows what you're going to face and he's prepared you fully. And we see this throughout the Bible. Moses and his staff, he uses his staff all the time. Turned into a snake to separate the water. There's nothing special about that particular staff, but Moses knew how to use it. He was comfortable with it and God used that in him. We see that in Gideon when Gideon played the trumpet. He knew how to do it. God didn't raise him up an army, train him in swordsmanship and bow and arrows and all this fancy stuff. He just used what he already had. He used the gifts and talents that people had. We see it with Joshua and the trumpets marching around for 7 days and seven nights. He didn't train them on how to siege a castle or how to run through walls or anything like that. He used what he already had. And every one of those people trusted God. And even Jesus himself, to feed the 5,000, he used what he had. Jesus didn't bring an easy bake oven and start cooking real quick. He used the 5 loaves and 2 fish to feed 5,000. And it's not only 5,000, we talked about this on team retreat, but he fed the disciples as well. Each disciple got their own basket. And when we count in biblical times, that 5,000 is more likely just 5,000 men, not including the women and children. So it's at least 5,012, including the disciples. And let's just add another 5,000 for all the wives and children that were there as well. So really, it's a feeding of 10 plus thousand people. And he used what he had. He didn't randomly start making rocks into bread. He didn't make anything. He used what he had. And that's the beauty of trusting in God, is we don't have to provide everything. We don't have to go out and acquire these new skills. We don't have to train for years. God has already done that. God has already given us conversations that we need. He's given us talents, gifts, and the people in our lives that we may not think, oh, I don't have that gift. God's like, yeah, but your best friend does, and you two are going to go together. He prepares us so beautifully. And when we don't trust God, we're saying, well, you didn't prepare me. I'm not ready. I can't do it. And we see that throughout, especially with Gideon. Gideon says, oh, not me. I'm the weakest of the weak. Well, God can use any one of us. God will use every one of us. And so this trust in God is crazy to me because the sure power that God has. And we're like, no, you can't do it. We look at and he goes, oh, well, he's way bigger than me. He's got the armor and stuff. I can't do that. And we're doubting God. And just, I mean, I do it too. It's just so foolish. It's so silly to be like, oh, I don't have the ability to do that. And it's like, are you crazy? You're telling me the God who created the universe, flooded it, saved people, sent his son, rose from the dead. Well, he can't fix my little problem. And it's like, are you serious? And I look at myself in the mirror. I'm like, are you kidding me? And just the trust in God, these people are facing way bigger battles than I've ever faced sometimes. And it feels like I put my minute problem in life and be like, well, this is the biggest thing God's ever faced. And it's like, are you kidding me? We talked about this morning in Sunday school about Jesus going to the wilderness. And he trusted God again and again as Satan tempted him. He trusted the word that he knew. So let's do the same. Let's live like Jesus and trust that he's going to take us through. And so we always think that we're facing our problems alone. That tends to be my thing, is when I'm facing alone, I push everyone out. And I go, all right, just me. 1v1, let's go. Well, really, we're all facing different problems. We're all facing Goliaths in our life. I'm sure you've been thinking about that. People passing away, people getting sick, financial issues, all types of stuff. And so I like to do interactive stuff. And so I'm going to take Goliath apart real quick. And if you're physically able, I have some sticky notes and pens up here. I would like people to come down. Whatever Goliath you are facing, write your Goliath on a sticky note, and then you're going to stick it to Goliath, okay? So that way we're going to see that we're not facing this alone. You're not the only one going through a problem. So if you guys want to start coming down, I got pens and sticky notes and whatnot. So come on down. This is an interactive. I'm a youth pastor, so you're all going to be interactive with me. If you ask any one of my teens... grab a pen. So come on down. There's plenty of sticky notes. Yep. Just write money. You can write unspoken, whatever it is. Yep. You can put whatever you want. Whatever helps you realize that. So you guys can come on the stage, put it on the legs of it, put it on the body, anywhere you want. So this is what you get when you hire a youth pastor and let them speak on Sunday mornings. You get interactive sermons. There's plenty of pens, plenty of sticky notes, but if you're asking my teens, I don't tell them what I'm doing. I just say I'm asking for a volunteer, and some of them are more hesitant than the others, but this is what you get. And so as we come up, you're going to see more and more sticky notes be put on Goliath. You're going to see different issues people are facing in this world, and we're not all facing the same issues. Some of us are. But we're not all facing the same issue. But no matter the issue and problem that we're facing, we have to trust in God regardless of what it is. We have to give it all to him. And if you're not physically able, ask someone. If you guys want to bring some sticky notes to people who are sitting down who can't get up and bring it back. But we're all getting involved. I want to see as many people in here, I want to see a sticky note for every person. Because I know... we're all facing issues, we all have things, and maybe your Goliath doesn't seem 9 feet tall, but maybe it's just 3 feet tall and you're still scared of it. But that's okay, because we're all facing issues, we're all facing problems, and that's kind of the beauty of the church, is we're all broken people. No one has asked us here to be perfect. You need a sticky note. If someone wants to bring sticky notes, please help a neighbor out. But we're all facing issues. And I want us to see, as you see Goliath kind of fill up with all these sticky notes, you see all these things, you kind of realize, hey, I'm not alone. I'm not alone in my issues. I'm not alone in my problems. But we're all broken. And I'll be the first to tell you that I'm broken. And that's awesome that you can admit it. That's the first step. Now that we're broken, I'm going to tell you right now, you can't fix yourself. And we can't fix each other. But we can sure pray about it and trust God that he's going to fix us. And so, as we start to wrap up, but as you can see, plenty of different colors on Goliath, plenty of different issues that we're facing, different things that we need to do, different things that it's hard for us to face, and that's okay. All right, perfect. Sorry if I had a made anyone walk, but that's just what you get. Oh, no. Perfect. All right. So Goliath is up there with all of our issues, and that's okay because we're going to knock him down eventually. We're going to see all those issues come tumbling down. And so, I mean, I can imagine David probably felt like this, just so much that he's going to face. So many things that could go wrong if David loses this. He's the weakest of his family. And like I said earlier, if they lose this, the Philistines are just going to run rampant and just start burning cities, killing people. Like, there's a lot on the line here. There's a lot of pressure. And like, you start to feel anxiety, fear. And I was listening to a song last night, and there's one line they said that fear does not pay the bills. And that just stuck with me. I don't know what it was, but fear does not pay the bills. Trust in God pays the bills. And I'm not talking about the bills that come in every month and you go, ah, bills. But I'm talking about the spiritual ones, the ones that we feel dragged down by, the ones that we feel hang over our head. Fear doesn't pay those bills. They actually make it worse. But trust in God pays those bills. Trust in God is the one who delivers us out of everything. And I mean, the Lord provides the right tool for our calling, no matter what it is. You already have everything you need. God has given you that. And if you don't, God is going to give that to you. And I would strongly recommend praying for that. One of the first sermon series that Troy did was Dangerous Prayers. And it's actually a book, and I'd highly recommend reading that book. It's only 100-something pages, quick read. But Dangerous Prayers, don't pray the easy stuff. I mean, I don't think anyone's really struggled praying for the McDonald's they brought home and said, God bless this food. But there's dangerous prayers that we can pray in that. And trusting God is one of them. Giving everything we have to God and trusting Him with it is just one of those dangerous prayers. Because guess what? You're stepping out of that driver's seat and stepping into that passenger seat. Anyone that's ever had a kid and they've gone for their permit knows that feeling. I know some of you wish you had that student driver car where they had a brake on the other side, right? I know when I drove, my parents were freaking out. They have that bar above it, and they were gripping that bar with all of their might. All of their might. But thankfully, Jesus is a better driver than a 16-year-old. No offense, guys, but He's a better driver than any of us. So why wouldn't we give Him the keys? Why wouldn't we trust Him? And so, looking up, I didn't even put a sticky note up there. But there's just a lot of pain, a lot of Goliaths that we're all facing. And so I was a basketball player, especially Nerf hoops in my room, so this is what I'm using. I'm not good with the sling, so God's not asking me to do that. But if I miss, I'm sorry. Good thing David didn't miss, though. He hit him right between the eyes. And where everyone saw this strength in Goliath, this power, this tallness, this strength, David saw, the bigger they are, the harder they fall. All right, guys, hopefully I make it first try, but... Woo! And just like that, I mean, the Israelites they were excited when he came back to camp. He even went over to Goliath, took Goliath's sword, and took off his head and brought it back. He brought it back as happy as could be and put that down right in front of Saul and said, here you go. And it's not that easy of throwing a Nerf hoop at a cardboard sculpture, but God's going to make it easy. Because when we give everything to Him, when we trust in God, sometimes it's just that easy. And I would encourage you, if you're having that 99%, like, I'll give Him everything, but I want this one little thing just for me. God wants it all. He's a jealous God. So you got to trust in Him fully. And so today as you leave, think about that Goliath. Think about that sticky note that you put on there. And look at where it is now. Just a minute ago, it was standing nice and tall, 10 feet in the air. Yeah, it's on the ground now. And so go and trust in God. Face your Goliath head on, but not alone. Trust in God with every decision you make. and he will take your Goliath down. Thank you.